it's time for our monthly visit from Encourage and Visit. I am all verklempt after talking about olive oil and vinegars. And Pamela, could you help me real quick? Get me that stuff that you printed out for me, please. Please, real quick here. And anyway, I just wanted to reiterate, we had a special weather statement, and it says very cold through Thursday morning and heavy snow possible Friday afternoon into Saturday. So be aware of the situation, folks. And, just be prepared. All right, well, our friends from Encourage are here, and last night you had a big meeting with the folks from the Tribune Building Project. So why don't we do that first? A brief review of what happened at the meeting last night with the folks. And you had some big news. That's what I've been trying to find.
Well, that's okay. We'll share it right now.
Okay.
So, yeah, last night we had a great turnout. We had 90 people in attendance at the Centralia Center to talk about the Tribune.
Which was impressive, given the weather. And
yes, the coldness. Who wanted to come out? So last night we talked about the fact that the Tribune right now is in the State Building Commission budget. And that's really exciting because the Tribune could receive up to $7.35 million as a part of the state budget and the cost of the building. And that would be a fabulous start to unlocking the rest of the dollars that would be needed to get that building constructed. So we're really excited about this opportunity right now.
How much is needed to get the actual construction going?
Well, the actual full cost of the building is $14 million. So that's why we say it's half that cost. And so right now, you know, we have lots of interested parties in helping fund portions or parts of the building. Some people are just interested in the, you know, creative space, for an example. So this would be huge because it would be like 4 months to fall in order for us to receive all the funding that we would need to get everything up and running and build that beautiful space.
Okay. And I just found it, but thank you, Pam. Okay. Okay. So that's cool. And if you're wondering who's in the studio, we have from Encourage, Corey Anfinson and Heather McCallops. And the meeting last night, I guess you would term it a success.
Oh, it was an absolute success. It was a blast. We had so much fun. The residents were happy to roll up their sleeves on their project.
Okay, now, what's going to be needed to get the building? I know universities work real hard to get the building commission to approve projects. And, like, what's going to be needed to get this money approved for Encourage? What kind of help do you need from the community?
You know, we're going to need lots of help from the community, but the first thing that we're focusing on is we know that we have a lot of investment from our residents of their time and their talent, their creativity in helping get to where we're at right now in the process. But one of the things that the state will be looking at is what kind of financial support do we have locally for the project? So community support, knowing that the community is behind it, not only with their time and their talent, but also with some dollars. So in 2017, we are going to be looking at how do we do some smaller, more grassroots type fundraising efforts to help show that we do, in fact, have financial support for the Tribune Project locally as well.
Okay, so how do we do that? Do we set up a community fund, or do we have some
Well, that's what last night was.
Yeah, the benefit meeting last night.
So last night, residents worked together to create some really unique and fun ideas that we could implement in 2017. So last night was really all about residents rolling up their sleeves and starting to think about what are some really creative and fun ideas that we could look at for opportunities for fundraising in 2017. So we had a lot of creative ideas ranging from, you know, hey, maybe someone could someone could say that they're purchasing or sponsor a piece of equipment in the building. So that light fixture was donated by Carl Hilke.
Okay.
So that came up as one of the more unique ideas that I thought was pretty interesting. And then we had someone bring up, you know, maybe a bike to bog, where we, not hog to bog, where it's motorcycles, but bicycles, you know, so getting our exercise in, highlighting the local cranberry industry that we have here in our community, and then making a day of it and have local foods available. So that was one. Another idea was golf tournaments, where we would host golf tournaments at multiple golf venues here in the community. We have a lot of great golf.
Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah. And so maybe one would be geared towards a young professional golf outing. Maybe we have one geared towards our senior population. Maybe we have one, and this is the one I would get to attend, which is the newbie golf outing.
Sure.
So bring lots of balls because you're going to lose them. So that would be the one I'd get to go to.
I've done that too, and I've been playing for many years. No, okay, but yeah, so you can have a lot of different fun things, and maybe even just the fireworks. Fund. So set up a fund and say, hey, folks.
Mm-hmm. Well, we actually already have a fund at Tribune, and I'm proud to say that we already have a lot of residents who've invested.
Okay.
And, you know, last night we had a few residents who decided, I want to invest tonight. I want to write out a check tonight and invest in the Tribune project. And one of the things that we did stress to our residents, it's not about, you know, everyone bringing in, you know, $10,000. It's every dollar is going to show support, right?
Right.
So we want to make sure that we recognize, you know, what is the average household income and what can people actually support. So if it's $1 that someone can give to the Tribune, that is fabulous, and we would appreciate that. And maybe they can't give $1 from their own pocket, but what they could do is find a way to help contribute to the fundraising events. So maybe they give some time, or maybe they say, you know, I can't do this. I can't give a lot of time, but I can actually go to the events and participate in them.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Like for instance, golfing on steroids.
Yeah.
or attending a big event that you host to raise money for the... And when do you anticipate the building commission making a decision?
I believe that there won't be decisions made on that until sometime... Memorial Day-ish,
yeah,
around there.
Right.
So in the meantime, you know, we have staff who are really working closely with our local elected officials to make sure that they're understanding that it is in the budget right now, and understand how do we keep it in the budget? What are the things that we need to do as a community to support the effort to make sure that it stays in there? So there will be more information made available once we know that, and so we may be looking for more support in multiple ways, not just through dollars.
I was thinking State Representative Krug would be someone you probably... And especially since the state was already here and the lieutenant governor came and brought that grant check, the state's already, in a way, bought in to this because of the entrepreneurial aspects of this, of the economic development potential of the project. So,
yeah, there's a lot of characteristics or nuances of the project that are very attractive to Governor Walker and his administration. Entrepreneurship is one. Another thing with the State Building Commission is they're looking to invest in communities or projects that then can be models for others in Wisconsin. And we just had, not too long ago, visitors from Pulaski that are looking to redevelop a warehouse in their community. And they did a site and were just blown away with our riverfront, our downtown, what we're doing with the Tribune. And so we're already seeing people from the state and other parts of the community coming here, learning from us, and going back to their community, and that will be very attractive to the governor as well.
Okay, so yeah, so we got a lot of things working for us.
Yes, we do.
Okay, if we pull it all off, I'm going to think big picture here.
You mean when?
Yes, say
when,
if is not a word we're going to use.
Okay, when we pull it off.
Yes.
When we pull it, thank you for correcting me. When we pull it, when do we start really amping up the construction work? That's what everybody, right now, I guess, if there's a PR problem with the Tribune project, is that people drive, what's going on here?
Right. You know, we've never owned a building before, and so we have always said that, you know, this has been a learning process for us. And in the beginning of the project, we didn't anticipate actually owning the building long term. And then through the process, we realized that Encourage does need to own this building. So we're learning as we go and as we're getting ready to fly it. And so once we find out about the State Building Commission Fund, that would help us go back to other potential funders and say, we now have the $7 million investment here. Your investment here would be here. And so it's really just, you know, once this happens, it's just putting those pieces of the puzzle, the financial puzzle, that are there. They're just not quite connected yet. And so the hope would be that if we get all these pieces of the puzzle connected, that you could see construction, you know, starting. I don't know how long it will take fully to construct the whole building. You know,
well, with Wisconsin's weather and everything.
That's the biggest issue. Depending on when we get started, you have to be at a certain point before winter or...
Well, that's where you rely on your contractors and the professionals you hire.
Absolutely, we rely on them.
Well, and the challenge is for people to understand that this isn't a traditional, you know, development project. If we had bought the building with the intent that we decide what goes in it, that timetable may be different. That we've gone through with engaging residents and they decide. Yeah. Obviously, that elongates the project, but it's in the long run better off because their ideas are represented, demand in the community is represented. We've got ownership because I guarantee the residents that have helped design and develop this project, this is their tribune. This is not encouraged. This is theirs. This is our community's. And so, you know, that elongated time frame, what people have to understand is it's a different project than we've seen in this community.
The project is part of an overall community development involvement. Absolutely. I mean, it's a community's process. Absolutely. To get to encourage community involvement, which leads to community development.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's you know, it's part of an approach of this development is so connected to revitalizing our downtown. As we had representatives from the city, we had Joe Terry come and speak about the upcoming riverfront development and the work that they're doing there. Mm-hmm. And there's actually a meeting tonight on that he came to share, talking about the triangle redevelopment and then talking about, and this is all connected, right? As far as our community development and a driver of a new economy.
And here's the thing, I'm going to bring in something. There's this development called Sand Valley down in town of Rome.
Yes.
The people that are going to be playing that high-end golf course, many of them are entrepreneurs and business people.
Mm-hmm.
This happened in Bandon Dunes, Oregon. They arrived, they started looking around. Oh, there's some investment opportunity. Have you guys ever thought of doing this? That's what's going to happen here. They're going to come about developments like going on. Because that's the nature of being an entrepreneur or an active business person. You're always looking for that new opportunity. And they're going to go, oh, you're doing that? Can we set up a meeting? I have an idea. You're going to have that happening. Mm-hmm. And I understand it's already starting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've heard there's been meetings or people driving. Oh, well, you guys got, it looks like you got a town that's starting to do some things here. That's going to be part of the natural process, too. And that's going to play a role.
Exactly.
And then we have to welcome them in. What, you got an idea?
Absolutely.
Let's share it. In part two, we're getting our monthly Encourage report. And again, Encourage is located, if you want, 78 East Grand Avenue, right across from Hotel Mead. Their phone number is 715-818-6179. And you can like them on Facebook. They're on YouTube. They're on Twitter. They're everywhere. And with us is Corey Anfinson and Heather McKellips. We just talked about the Tribune Building Project and the meeting that many of you attended last night. And last week, Encourage and the Bank of Chicago jointly held a Healthy Communities Conference, which invited a whole lot of different stakeholders, business people, government officials, health officials, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So how did that go?
It was fabulous. It was fabulous. And what was neat about it is that typically these types of events, and they're called Investing in Healthy Communities, Ideas to Action for Healthy People, Place, and Planet. Typically, these are done in urban centers.
Right.
And we were one of the federal sites to be able to co-host this with the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. And what was really great is that it really was able to showcase to not only the attendees that were there that probably were from rural communities as well, but also the speakers and others that came that there's a lot to be had in rural America. Oftentimes we get, you know, we'll dismiss, right? And all the attention and attraction goes to urban areas. And yet we're trying to highlight the connectivity between rural. We're not different. We're connected.
So, what were some of the ideas that came out of that?
Well, I've had the opportunity to go to a Federal Reserve event that was held in Milwaukee and then one that was held in Platteville. And I'm always fascinated going to those because what you learn is that your history is a very small portion indicator of your overall health. And so what this helps is to really broaden that lens around health so we can start looking at, you know, the environment, obviously your behaviors, but, you know, just that fascinating part about all these other determinants of your health that you're not even aware of. And so this brings it all together and looks at how those kind of converge around health, community development, and economic development, how they all intersect.
Okay. And coming out of that, did it facilitate or lead to some discussions on some unique ideas to develop us economically in a healthy way? Or
well, one of the panels, and I think Jenny Riggenbach was here last month to talk about it, is she actually did one of the panels, and it was a really popular panel, Trends in Workforce Development.
Okay.
It highlighted the innovative approaches that both rural and urban communities are seeking as they begin to understand their own resiliency and prosperity, which relies on the businesses to attract, retain, and grow a talented workforce. And that's one, you know, as I think about the comments I hear in our community, you know, it's like jobs, 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 but then the dialogue needs to be broadened a little bit. Okay, are they family-sustaining jobs? And I know that Jane Courage have, you know, we've been working in workforce development for over a decade and really looking at both ends of the equation, not only the employer, but also the what are the needs of the employer? Are they getting the talent that they need? Are they getting the skill set that they're looking for in their workforce? But then also the employee, are they getting the pay that is equitable? Mm-hmm. And so it's really looking at it from both ends of the equation, and they were able to highlight that.
It's a big thing because in this area, you hear, well, there's jobs available, but I can't find people that have the skill set. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, there's folks saying, yeah, there's jobs, but they don't pay enough.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or I have to have two of them to support a family.
Right. Or I would say the rhetoric we hear is, oh, there's no jobs. This is a dying town.
Well, and which is just, I think some of that is just people wanting to whine.
Yeah, I would agree, because we have a huge manufacturing base in this community that we have CEOs that are losing sleep because they can't fill. We get to this part where I'm fascinated by is that, you know, we need jobs. Yes, we need jobs, but we also need quality of life amenities that people are going to come to this community for. So it's the systems approach to workforce that is often missed in the conversation.
And it's kind of interesting you should mention that, because what we're seeing in a lot of cities, and even like, say, your medium-sized cities, and I'm not going to talk about like a Madison. Let's talk about like an Oklahoma City or a Portland, where they are developing a culture that encourages people to live in the city. Their buildings, their housing is being updated and is in the city. They're developing mass transit that's easily affordable and accessible within the city, and it's very popular with the quote-unquote millennial generation. They don't want to have to drive from the suburbs, whatever time it takes, to go to work. They want to be able to come out of their apartment or condo or whatever, get on a light rail, and go to Oklahoma City. I read an article, I think it was in Fortune, where they talked about that. It's been very successful. And companies have used that as a recruiting tool.
Mm-hmm.
Because the new generation of workers, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for amenities. What do you have for parks? What do you have for transportation? What do you
And we hear, you know, so thinking about rural America that doesn't have those types of things, but we do have things that millennials want. We have the natural resources. We have, you know, you had the Hittners in here. They go canoeing down the river, spend 10 hours on our river. We have things like that. We're going to have the Tribune. We'll have the Triangle redevelopment, the Riverfront redevelopment. That is the type of amenities that our millennials want, and they'll either commute to jobs, you know, they're going to live where they want to live and then find work. And right. Travel either there or going to do some sort of, what's it called?
Work from home.
Thank you. What is that phrase?
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. And we've been rated in terms of connectivity as well as anybody in Silicon Valley.
Absolutely. And that's the best kept secret in this.
Yes. I was able to attend the broadband boot convention had here last week at Hotel Meet on Tuesday, so the day before the Healthy Communities Conference. And so many folks in that room were talking about, their small communities not having access and the difficulty that it poses for them, because their residents are saying, well, I could work from home, but I mm-hmm. I can't work from home here, so I can't stay here. Or I have a cabin up here and I spend the weekends here. I would live here year round because I can do my job remotely, but I can't do it here. And so they were the whole time, all I kept thinking was, wow, how fortunate are we to have the services that we have available
to
us.
And I had Representative Krug here, and that's one of their his side of the aisle. Their project forward is about getting internet and broadband to rural areas. Now the governor is on board, and you got both sides of the aisle basically on board. And so everybody agrees. So now let's get it done.
And then, the other side of that is, while it's great we have the access to the services here, but we have to make sure that everyone has access to it. Make sure that those who may not be able to afford it, where do they get it? How do they get it? So free places like the library, things like that, making sure that it's available to everyone. There has to be the opportunity for people to take advantage of it in multiple ways.
That's a key thing, too, when it comes to solving unemployment issues.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
A lot of times you have to do your application online. And if you have never worked online, if the internet's a new concept or is something, that's where, like here, we're very fortunate. The library's done a lot of outreach to the community to teach, to help folks with resumes, to help teach them how to do job searches on the internet, et cetera, because that's how we're communicating nowadays.
Exactly, and I think we have a really excellent library. I think that's one of our assets in our community that we take for granted that other communities just don't have.
Yeah,
we also have a fabulous job center. I'd say that as well.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I was able to actually sit in on the workforce panel that was at the Health Conference, the one Heather was referencing. And what I really enjoyed about that session was the talk about not only understanding what are the needs of the employers, what are the needs of the employees, but then Chuck Price from Waupaca County, the Director of Human Services there, was talking about a training that he's implemented with his staff to help them see, these are the barriers and the difficulties that everyone are facing. And he said it's putting the human back in human services, but also recognizing that some of these barriers that our clients face, some of you, my employees, face some of the barriers or have difficulties or have mental health issues yourself, or you've had a past something, or some kind of trigger for you. And so recognizing that his employees also need support, and then how do they take that to the work that they do and applying that so that they're giving good case management.
Well, with and getting knowledge out there so folks understand the resources that are available, regardless of the issue, when it comes to a healthy community. Where can I get help for this health issue? Or I am dealing with depression. Where can I get some help with that? I need help finding a decent job. We need to a resource central where folks can be. Okay, you go here, you go here.
Yeah, and employers, who have employees, that are coming to work and maybe coming late, sometimes it's not because they choose to be late. It's because there are so many other things going on in every person's life that make it a challenge to get to work on time. It could be a transportation care issue. It could be a mental health issue. There's so many different layers to that, but helping people get beyond all those barriers, not just thinking about, you need to be at work on time. So being an employer of choice, which is a...
Our health professionals need to realize this too. Maybe the reason why your a patient hasn't shown up at for appointments for a while has nothing to do with the fact that they're disobeying your instructions or something. It might be something financial or insurance.
Yeah, all the different various
factors. Dumping patients is not the smart way of doing things, because I'm hearing that, but. With insurance companies and clinics. Okay, well, we'll just write them off.
Oh.
Bye. Oh, I'll tell you something afterward. But this has been a very interesting, and for folks that want to keep up in touch with the Tribune Building and all this fundraising, what's the easiest way?
They can go to our website, or they can give me a call at Encourage. I'd be happy to have a conversation with them.
If we generate some, have you got